This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's How to Sell from the Stage Like a Pro training program. Finally, a proven step-by-step formula for closing more sales from the stage with extreme confidence. If you speak from the stage and want to have more audience members anxious to invest in your programs and solutions, then do yourself a favor and invest in Jim's proven formula, and you'll soon be closing more sales like a pro. Check it out today at www.howtosellfromthestage.com. That's www.howtosellfromthestage.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Berg, co-author of The Go-Giver and author of Adversaries Into Allies, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I am so excited about this week's show because my special guest is not only an amazing coach and very, very serious entrepreneur, but my great friend, Melanie Benson-Strick. And I got to tell you, if you're feeling overwhelmed with everything it takes to be successful, information that Melanie's going to share is going to help you conquer overwhelm and replace it with a proven system for instant clarity, power, and freedom. Who doesn't want that? Let me tell you a little bit about Melanie. Melanie Benson-Strick is known as America's leading small business optimizer because she knows firsthand how to take an idea and turn it into a thriving six-figure plus business with her secret weapon, which is called leverage. With over 12 years in corporate project management, Melanie works exclusively with thought leaders and big-thinking entrepreneurs who want proven strategies to monetize their big ideas and catapult their success without giving up their life. Melanie's clients, who are typically coaches, consultants, authors, speakers, service professionals, and information marketers, typically add at least six figures to their bottom line while creating more time for living their dream lifestyle. Melanie is on faculty with StomperNet as their delegation expert. She's co-author of Entrepreneur.com's Startup Guide to Starting an Information Marketing Business, and her success tips featured in magazines such as Women's Day, LA Times. Melanie is a proud lifestyle enthusiast and spends a lot of her free time in search of the best spas and beaches in the world. Melanie, welcome to this program. Thank you so much for being my very special guest.
Always honored to come be your special guest, Jim.
It's so fun when we get to do this.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Because we don't know anything about overwhelm.
Oh, I know. You know, so let's do a little truth sharing here. Melanie has been my secret weapon. I mean, you taught me a lot about leverage, but really, a couple years ago, I guess, you really had to do some work on my old brain box about overwhelm and you know, taking time off and just enjoying a little bit more about life than simply working 24/7. So, and it really has helped me. So I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So Melanie, why do you think entrepreneurs have so much overwhelm running their business? I mean, it couldn't be because they're, you know, watching tons of negative news. It couldn't be because sales are down. You know, what are maybe some of the reasons why they really have so much overwhelm?
Well, you know, everybody's really unique in their journey as a business owner, but I do find that there are a few key triggers for overwhelm that every entrepreneur that comes into work with me seems to have. And I'm going to talk about a couple of them. When I do the get out of overwhelm work with people, there's actually 16 that tend to come up for people, but I think you're going to relate to two of them that we're going to, actually I'll talk about three of them today. One of them is called bright shiny object syndrome, and bright shiny object syndrome is you know, I think in the beginning when we start our business, one of the things that's really precious for us is getting new ideas, getting new information. It's like we need to really learn what all the ins and outs are of running a business. We're hungry for new information. You know, we're kind of like a sponge soaking it all in. But at a certain point, if we keep taking on new ideas and new information, then we don't actually get to move into implementation as strongly as we need to. And a lot of people stay stuck in this, all of these bright, shiny things coming at them. It's like being a kid in the candy store. There's so many things you could do. And we don't really develop the muscle or the discernment of really understanding, is this an idea that's worth putting into action because it has the right return on investment? And, you know, interestingly enough, 70% of the business owners that turn to me for coaching and mentoring, their biggest source of overwhelm is they have so many things on their plate. They're chasing so many different directions. They have like 17 different businesses. They have all these new things they're trying to do to get out there in the world. And kind of a cousin issue to Bright Shiny Object Syndrome is something I like to call creativity addiction.
Mm.
Every business owner I know, every entrepreneur, every person who is on any level developing a business around who they are and what they've learned is really prides themselves on being creative, right? Like it's almost like entrepreneurism and creativity go hand in hand. But what I have found is that many of us are over relying on the strength of being creative. And as, you know the old saying, a strength overused becomes our greatest weakness. Well, if you overuse creativity,
I'm about to write that one down, Mel.
Yes. This is a big one for you, Jim. Creativity overdone becomes your greatest weakness. It leads to eroding profits. It is definitely going to cost you in the overwhelm department, but it also can lead to confusion of your brand in the marketplace. And here's what I mean by creativity addiction. You get so excited about just the experience of creating something new that you spend more than half of your time, and some of us more than 80 to 90% of our time, in the creation phase, and we never leave enough time to optimize what we've already made. So it looks like I've got to get a new marketing program out there. I've got to get it, you know, I want to create another offer, or I want to write another book, or I'm going to get another coaching program out there. And so we never leverage all the hard work we put into the most expensive part of our business, which is creation. Creating takes over 60 to 70% of the profit from that business line, from that offering. And if you don't ever optimize it, you can see why it creates overwhelm. You're putting all your time and energy into creating new stuff, but it's not really fully monetized in the marketplace. And that one seems to be a really big epidemic because we are oftentimes given the most accolades, and there's a definition of success is whoever has the most stuff out there wins. Well, I actually felt that for a long time too, and I felt this pressure to constantly get something new out, get the next program out, get the next product out, and I realized, wow, that none of this is really making very much money. Well, what's wrong? It's very difficult to be in product creation and product optimization at the same time. So that's kind of what I call a new, it's like we constantly get caught up in the new at the expense of really making what we have work better. And I'll talk about some strategies for that in a little bit. So let me just talk about the third one. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it, but it does kind of go hand in hand with what we're already talking about. And that's the trigger of having overcommitment. So many of us have this superhero syndrome inside of us. We think if just because we get the idea in our head that we should be able to pull it off in record time. But we've kind of had this funny thing where if we really sit down and figure out what something's going to take to get done, we'll find every reason not to do it. So we play this little game in our brain called, if I pretend like it's going to get done fast, I'll get into action. If I really think about it, I probably won't do it. So let's just pretend this is going to get done in 5 minutes, even though there's a part of me that knows this is a four-hour project. And then we constantly overcommit ourselves. Our schedules are overcommitted. We overcommit to our clients. This is huge for service-based business owners who get paid for delivering on an end product to their client. Overcommitment is horribly overwhelming, and it causes so much stress. It's so much it actually causes a lot of failure in the marketplace because when you start eroding trust with the people that you've overcommitted to, they start losing faith in you, and then you end up in a really big problem, which is you start losing clients. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again. So those are three big ones that I see people struggle with the most. There are others that I know that come up for people, like financial concerns and time management issues, but not a lot of people are talking about the overcommitment and the creativity addiction. So I think it's worth putting it on the table that people really look at, could that be making you feel overwhelmed?
I really like that creative addiction because, you know, I've always believed as entrepreneurs, they like to chase and build and create and all this stuff. But next thing you know, if they've done even a half-decent job at it, they have a company, and that needs to be run. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that means admin. Sometimes that means employees. Sometimes that means paying taxes and all that grunt stuff you hate to do when you have a real business. And then you go, okay, well, I'd rather go build this. I want to go build something else because that's really, I think, how their brains are wired.
You know why? Because most of us are starters. You know, we are visionaries. That's what we do well. And by the way, I'm not saying you should not use that part of you. I'm saying you have to learn how to channel it so that you can actually get more power out of your creativity. Because if you're always creating new stuff, but what you've created isn't profitable yet, you just have a lot of things to manage, and that's where the overwhelm comes from.
Very interesting.
And you know what else? I was just thinking about this. There's actually kind of what we would consider models of success out there in the world that cause confusion and create the illusion that being creative is the reward. Like, think about Richard Branson. Yeah? So Richard Branson, he's a mega creator, right? He like gets an idea. He's the quintessential ADD entrepreneur. He professes all the time how he loves being able to take his vision and just get people to get it done for him. What people don't realize, though, is any of these mega success stories, they truly have actually optimized something before they move to the next thing. Or they have so many financial resources that they've pretty much delegated running that entire business unit to someone else. And their only job is to create. And so most entrepreneurs I know, they aren't that resourced, and they're trying to jump to the next thing before they've actually made the thing they have work profitably before they move on to something else. So it's the right idea at the wrong time.
Yeah. You've mentioned derailers, you know, that can cause a visionary entrepreneur to underperform or even feel stuck in their business. What are these derailers?
Yeah, well, I mentioned a couple of them already. I would consider those derailers, or we could also call them triggers. But, you know, here's a couple other ones to think about. And we oftentimes don't realize the significance of things that we are used to doing. And one of them is what I like to call boundary issues. Here's what a boundary issue looks like, and I'll kind of tell it from a client that I worked with in the past. This is a client who had a service-based business, and when this person came to me, she was really overwhelmed. She was working like 14-hour days, 12, 14-hour days, and she was like, there's no time for anything else. Like, I'm struggling to make money. I'm not profitable. You know, I don't really get any time with my family, and this isn't what I had in mind. And, you know, she was really in a bad place, and it was hard for her. And, you know, the worst part of it was she was working all those hours, and she was barely covering her expenses. So when we started working together, I looked at one of the derailers for her is she had no boundaries around her time. Like, there was no time to stop working. So if you have no time that you make yourself stop working, guess what? Your activities will expand to the level at which you will work. And the other thing is, because she had no boundary issues, she spent so much time putting out fires for other people on her team and very little time getting the right things done, the things that had the biggest impact. You know, there's the Pareto principle that, you know, you should be putting 20% of your time into things that get you 80% of the results. Well, guess what she was doing? She was spending 80% of her time on things that got less than 20% of her revenue or profits. And that was so upside down for her, she was burning out quickly. So we had to look at the boundary of what do you put first in your day? How do you manage the questions that are coming in? And I literally taught her a new way to manage her time. And first of all, it was scary. Like, I want to acknowledge that sometimes it's scary to put boundaries in place and to tell people no, or to say I'm not going to do it that way, or to renegotiate deals that are actually really destructive for you, or even just to look at a new way to manage what you put first in your life. Instead of the first thing you do going in the morning, what if you didn't check email? What if you sit down and worked on the big project that you've been putting off? Those are the kinds of things that are radical to getting you out of overwhelm. So boundary issues is definitely a derailer for a lot of people, not knowing when to say no, not knowing how to manage your time. Another one is disorganization. Okay, so I'm actually going to probably annoy or maybe even make help people imagine when I say this, but I would say that over 75 to 80% of the business owners that I do business with are so freaking unorganized. Oh, my God. You know, these are people that are making high six and seven figures, and they don't check their email for a week or two, right? These are people that, you know, you send them materials and they lose them. These are people that, you know, they spend hours looking for a phone number. They don't get things in their calendar properly. Look, you're a business owner. Your job is to get the information you need to do well organized. You need systems. You need structures. You need processes. You need a way to manage the flow in your life. And here's what happens. Here's the reality. Either you just don't understand the cost of that disorganization, and I will tell you for a minute what that cost is. People see you disorganized. They lose trust in their ability to work with you. And I can't tell you how many people I've walked away from business deals because they were so disorganized. They would promise a promotion and not do it. They wouldn't show up for a call on time. They were always behind, like by 6 weeks. I'm like, you're too disorganized. I don't do business that way. And here's what happens. After time, that disorganization erodes your confidence. It erodes your energy. And you literally believe you just don't have time, when really what it is that you're just not putting the right things first. A simple rule is if you get yourself organized and you get things, you take 5 minutes to organize, you get 5 hours back. Think of it that way. You take a half hour to get yourself organized, you literally can almost get like a week's worth of, you know, of time and energy back. It's exponential clarity and focus back into your business. So those are a couple of big ones. I know I could go on for like a whole hour explaining all the overwhelm triggers and how they're affecting you, because most of us, you know, Jim, I don't know if you notice this, but people seem to really, like, they put up with stuff because they actually don't realize that it could be better or it could be different, because they've probably done it that way their whole lives.
Yeah, you know, that's really smart about what you said about people, how it's costing them business. You know, you know me well enough to know one of my just Achilles heels, or, you know, one of the things that really bothers the heck out of me is when people are late or forget stuff. And it's like, man, you gotta respect my time. I, you know, no matter what side of the desk you're on, so to speak. I mean, if you're that disorganized, why do I want to entrust you with a certain part of my business? You know, it really speaks volumes. And I, you know, once in a while, I get on a rant about customer service or even rudeness. You know, I'm a big fan of sending out surprise gifts and things like that. And you do that, and people, you know, first of all, they don't say thank you. And I mean, all of that kind of boils down to what I think is just, how are you presenting yourself as somebody who really wants to do business with other people? And so this whole thing about being disorganized, I completely agree with you.
It's like a habit. Have you noticed that? It becomes habitual when you're in that level of disorganization.
Absolutely. You know, the different stages, I think, of an entrepreneur's business can affect their level of overwhelm and success. You know, there's people who, when they're very first starting out and there's just a lot of decisions to make, there's usually not cash flow. That causes, you know, angst or anxiety. And then you go through growth spurts and things like that. So talk about the different stages of an entrepreneur's journey.
Yeah. You know, I like to look at them in three phases. We can all kind of dissect them differently, but I see kind of three evolutions almost of someone's business. And the first one is the striving phase. And this is when we're really new in business. And, you know, there's this deep desire to get ahead. There's this vision. And yet there's so – it's almost like there's a level of struggle. It's like we're just striving towards being able to get to that next level. And in that phase, there tends to be a lack of clarity, not knowing what to do, because there's so much that you're learning, and you're usually figuring out what is going to make you money, what's going to work in the marketplace, what's the right marketing strategy for me. And there's, you know, usually you're doing a lot of it on your own, or you have a relatively new team that you're trying to sync up with. So there's a lot of newness in that phase, and a lot of not knowing, and a lack of clarity. You might know what you want to do, but you don't know how you're going to do it. And that striving mode, it has a lot of energy behind it, but the overwhelm typically comes from not feeling like things are moving fast enough and not feeling like you have a clear-cut path to do what you do. And so, you know, that is where most of the overwhelm comes from, and it's the not knowing and not seeing progress fast enough. Now, the next phase is usually once you learn how to make money with what you do, this really interesting thing kicks in, and it's the overdrive mode. So I call this the drive phase. And this is where you are so driven because now you're like, woohoo, I know how to make money. All right, I've got this thing working now, and you're on a roll. But what you do is you put the pedal to the metal, and you're going like 500 miles an hour, and it's almost like you're trying to make up for how slow things went before. But the problem with this phase and where the overwhelm comes in is there's a level of busyness that you forget, like, hello, your business, you didn't start your business to work 12, 14-hour days. You started your business because you wanted freedom. You wanted to have the flexibility. Yet we set up the business so that there is none of that because this driver in us is taking over. And I like to think of this client that I worked with at one time where he literally – he was working every day, at least 10 to 12-hour days. And when we started working together, he knew he was overwhelmed. He knew he was doing this, but he literally couldn't stop. It was like he was compelled to keep driving things forward. And I asked him, I said, you know, what do you think is driving you? And he said, you know, I feel like there's this huge gap between where I am and where I want to be. And there's always the next thing to go get. There's always the next thing to conquer, the next thing to achieve. And he said, I just don't know when to stop. And that's because he didn't really have a clear picture of what success meant to him. Success meant all the things he still hadn't achieved instead of really looking at what had he achieved and when was enough enough. So in the driving phase, one of the things that many of us have to look at is what is it that's really important to us? What are the priorities? What is at stake? And I had this happen to me actually pretty early on in my career where I realized, like, I was working 7 days a week. I didn't have a life. I was not happy. I was really exhausted. And quite frankly, I think I was pretty grumpy. Like, I didn't really think anybody wanted to spend very much time with me because I wasn't very fun to be around because all I was thinking about when I wasn't working is all the stuff I needed to get done. You know, can you relate to that?
No, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I didn't think you would. So I had this little, like, talk with myself one day because I hadn't taken a day off in probably 6 months. I had more deadlines driving me than I knew what to, you know, than I could possibly keep up with. And I sat there and I was like, my little niece at the time, she was probably like 4 or 5, and her mom, my sister and her got on the phone and they're like, can you come over for dinner? And she would be like, Auntie, come over. You know, and I, like, there's this cute little voice saying, come play. And I'm like, oh, honey, I can't. And I realized, like, I've said that to her so many times in the last 6 months. She probably doesn't remember what I look like. This is ridiculous. Is not what I wanted, and I realized I had lost touch with what was really important. I had gotten so caught up in the drive and the game and what's next, and, you know, like, there was no end to what I wanted to achieve, and that was the thing that my client was experiencing. He had the what's next-itis. There was no end in sight because it was never enough. And so what worked for me, what worked for him, and, you know, what's worked for a lot of people that I've coached around this, and a lot of them are really big names, by the way, that kind of had to have this moment of realizing that you have to have something that's more important than the business. There's got to be something bigger that you value, that you know, that is about the life that you really dream about to get the overwhelm under control. And it's almost like you have to really do a priorities sync up. Like, what really are the priorities, and how long are you going to put those on hold to create this thing that you are driving forward to be more successful? So, and I'm not saying, by the way, that we shouldn't have goals. I'm not saying that we don't want to drive. I mean, we're all driven. What I'm saying is that what else? Like, why is there nothing else that you are using as a measure of your success? And that oftentimes can be a big shifter for us when we're constantly in that drive, drive, drive mode. So we've got strive mode, we've got drive mode, and then there's thrive mode. And it's funny, I've been talking a lot about the thrive part of business, and part of it is a mindset, and then part of it is a decision. The thrive mode is when you realize that there is a level at which you can have success and you can have a business where you feel like you are in flow, where you don't constantly feel like you're pushing really huge boulders up a mountain by yourself, and that you have committed to and you have made a decision in your life that you will feel fulfilled and in flow with your business. And it's almost like everything reprioritizes. You know, you've had those moments where all of a sudden you realize, wow, my whole life just changed. Everything is going to be different from this moment forward because you change your mind about something. And this is really about changing your mind and deciding that what you really want and what's possible is that you can have a 6-, 7-, or 8-figure business, but you're going to choose to do it in a way so that you feel like you're thriving instead of you're constantly driving yourself and you're striving and struggling to catch up with your life and to catch up with all the things you feel behind about. And it's literally a decision that you have to make that's followed by a updated strategy, a more leverage, a way to automate things, a shift in your mindset, and a heck of a lot more fulfillment and happiness in the process.
Wow.
Now, I don't know about you, Jim, but I don't know if you just went, yeah, that thriving mode, whatever. Like, how much do you think people are going to go, whatever, Melanie, yeah, that's like a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Nobody ever really does that. Do you think people might think that?
You know, so this is like a double-edged sword for me because I just love interviewing you, but I also dislike interviewing you because I feel like I'm being diagnosed. Like, oh, that's me. Damn it. That's
okay.
Me. Damn it.
No, there's a reason why you love my work, right?
That's exactly right. Here's a real softball, easy question, high and over the plate. What is the fastest path to get out of overwhelm and back into kind of, well, let's call it sanity and high profits?
Yeah. Well, here's the fastest path. I want you to pack a suitcase, go jump on the next plane to a desert island and, like, camp out by yourself. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, that's what we all want, right? Like, when it gets really bad, we think, if I could just go drink, you know, foofy drinks on a beach somewhere, everything would be better, right?
Well, it's true. And there's times, Melanie, not to interrupt you, but there's times when Stephanie and I both, you know, she works really, really hard at her job. I work really hard at my business. And there's times where we think, I don't care where we go. I just want to check into a hotel room, get room service, and not go anywhere, not see anybody. Because I can't personally relax that much at home. I got a home-based office. I got my computer, laptop, iPad. So, you know, it's just so hard. But somehow going to check into a motel somewhere, it's easy. It's just like getting away. It's the getting away, I guess, that does it for us.
Well, you know, we're joking around about this, but this actually is one of the fastest paths to the next phase of this, to really find some thriving and to shift gears. And that is, you have to create space. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. And I know this is a bunch of people are going to go, there is no way in the world that's going to work for me. But creating space basically is the philosophy that if you make a rule in your life, a standard in your life, where you're only going to work certain days at certain times, what happens is you have to become more productive and efficient with the time that's left. And here's how this has worked for me. Like, and I'm going to say I am 99% good with this. There are times when I do it differently, and we all do, but it's getting back to this place or knowing that's the exception, not the rule. I don't work on the weekends. And I'm pretty much done by between 5 and 6 every day, and I don't get into my office before 8:30, sometimes 9 o'clock in the morning. And I typically don't start working on Mondays till afternoon, so somewhere around noon. And I typically, most of the time, I don't work afternoon on Fridays. So there are times when, you know, like right now it's the holiday season and I'm going to be taking some time off, so I've been putting a little bit more in on Fridays. But you will not catch me at my desk late at night. If I work on the weekend, it's because I need a quiet space to finish a project. I don't have anything else going on, and I'll work 2 or 3 hours just to get caught up on something. But you know that I'm doing that because I've taken some time off during the week. Because for me, thriving means I have the flexibility to work what I want to work and not when I don't. I don't want to feel like I have to work because I have to catch up, and that's the difference. So the first thing is like to start blocking time away from your business. Here's why. When you have time away from your business, your brain works better. It has more energy. You focus better. You make better decisions. You're sharper. Your game is at a whole other level because you're not, your brain cells aren't deteriorated because you've been working such long hours. And most of us, if we're telling ourselves the truth, for working long days, it's exhausting. You might love what you do, but if you're not taking a break, I guarantee you, you're not as sharp and you're not at the top of your game, as at the top of the game as you could be. So that's one thing. And so for the people that go, there is absolutely no way that's ever going to happen for me. I cannot take time away. That's crazy talk, Melanie. I guarantee you, if you even put a half a day in your schedule, half a day, even 2 hours, and you make that your habit, everything's going to change. And every person I've ever worked with, they tell me, oh, my God, you're right. It changed everything, just taking that little bit of time away. And I know one of the things you and I did one time, Jim, is like you've got to take a real lunch, right? Instead of eating your sandwich at your desk, cramming more work in, take a break. Take a breather. Go get away for a half hour or an hour. And, you know, your brain works better when you get back.
I'm going to let that last one go and just move on to the next question.
So literally, do not check up with me on that one, Melanie. Okay, you're off the hook. We'll talk about that one later.
So
okay.
Just a really quick, funny story. So last year, and again, you helped me so immensely, but last year is one of those times, I think it was in the middle of January, and I'm in Pennsylvania, so it's cold, and Stephanie and I, there was this lake. It was about 2 hours away in the middle of the state. We said, let's just go drive out to that lake. We'll just get a hotel. We even took Toby with us. We just wanted to get away, take a nice drive. We get out there, and it's a very small town, and we go into this little, probably one of the only restaurants in the town, and freezing, and we say, we're just here to check out, I forget the name of the lake, but Boyd's Lake, and they go, today? Now? I mean, it's frozen, it's iced over, there's like 32 degree below zero, wind chill whipping, it's like, well, we need to get away. Anyway, I digress. You know, you mentioned kind of the most important question to ask if you want to be at the top 3% of your game. Mm-hmm. What would that question be?
Well, and that ties into a second strategy. That was a great segue. The question is, how is this going to pay off for me if I say yes to it? So let's go back to bright, shiny object syndrome and creativity addiction. You know, we don't really have a lot of checks and balances as entrepreneurs. We don't have anybody to report to, maybe a spouse, maybe a business partner, but really, like, it's our business. So it's a blessing and a curse. It's a double-edged sword. We have our freedom, but that freedom is oftentimes our own worst enemy. And so one of the checks and balances that can help you get out of the overwhelm and make sure that you're actually optimizing every investment, every decision, every new opportunity is to ask yourself a couple key questions. This is part of I call it a green light formula. Like, how do you start green lighting the most viable opportunities so your overwhelm starts to diminish? And the first one is, if I say yes to this, how is it going to get me to my ultimate goal? So is it unaligned or is it a distraction? Because believe it or not, a lot of people say yes to things that have absolutely nothing to do with making the business they have more successful. They just get distracted or they're really excited and honored that someone's asked them to do something. The second part of the question is, how will this make me money? Okay, so we got to really, you know, we're in business to make money. We're not in business to have a hobby, although some people have confused having a hobby with having a business. If you want to be profitable, when you are going to say yes to something, you have to ask yourself, how is it going to make me money? And I actually have a client that she, every time she is going to say yes to something, she has required by our contract to bring it to me first because she won't think it through. And she gets in the, oh, this will be fun. I know how to do this. And she jumps in. Next thing you know, she's spending, you know, 40 hours a week on something that's really not very profitable. So we have an agreement that she brings them to me, and I'll talk her out of about 80% of them now, and she's more profitable than she ever has been before. So you have to ask yourself, how will this make me money? And then here's the third question, and this is where it gets really juicy. What will I be saying no to if I say yes to this? Okay, because, again, we're superheroes. We don't think, oh, I'm not going to say be able to do this if I do that. We think, I'll do it all, but we can't. We don't really have that much bandwidth. We don't have that much time. We actually sometimes don't even have that much financial resource to move it all forward. And inside of that question becomes the opportunity cost. It's like, okay, so how long is this going to take me to start making money? What's going to get sacrificed along the way? And am I really willing to say no to that to move this forward? And it becomes a real conversation we have with ourselves and or your coach, if you're working with a coach, or your partner or your spouse that has a level of accountability. So you're not just chasing things anymore, wondering if they're going to work, but you really get to have some facts that will help you discern and build up that muscle of making really good decisions so you are optimizing what you have instead of just moving a bunch of stuff out there in the world that may or may not work.
Good stuff, really good stuff. When you talk about leverage, and I love that, is that something that like anybody can do at any stage, or is there a certain time when you know it becomes more necessary or relevant? Or
yeah, you know, there's a lot of different forms of leverage, and you and I, we know this inside and out, but let's just assume that maybe leverage is a new concept or it's something that's felt like it's kind of eluding you. The whole idea of leverage is how can you put the minimum amount of energy into something but get the maximum output. Think Pareto principle. You're putting 20% energy in, but you're getting 80% of your results, your income, your profits from it. Well, I like to look at leverage under the guise of, you know, it could be leveraging your time by delegating more. It could be leveraging your ability to generate revenues because you have a way of delivering that service or that offering to more people with less work. There's a lot of different, you know, it's about automating things or simplifying things. So there's a lot of different forms of leverage. I think you can start to use leverage the minute you open up the doors figuratively or literally into your business. But it's understanding why you need leverage. And, you know, for a lot of people, at the time they realize they need leverage is they literally cannot get any more done. They're totally maxed out and they're miserable. But what it takes to put the leverage in place at that point does require you to have to slow down. So it becomes a little bit more daunting. And so if you get that leverage is really powerful and you start to delegate earlier, you design your business offerings so that there's more leverage in them from the get-go, or at least once you start getting some traction, then you can soar faster. You move into that strive or that thriving mode much earlier, and you can kind of skip some of those struggle and moving into overdrive, and you don't have to spend so much time there.
Melanie, this has been awesome. Really, really solid information. And again, I want to tell everybody listening to this what a rock star you are at the mindset. You know, there's a video, I guess probably 2 summers ago. Gosh, could be 3, time flies. But at least 2 summers ago, I was talking to you in August. And I'm like, oh, Melanie, I'm so struggling with my workload and stuff. And you said, you need to get away. And I'm like, no chance. You said, you need to get away for at least a day. And I think that was at the end of a week, and I cleared my calendar. I had Kate clear all my appointments for the following Monday, and I went up to Eagles training camp, which is like an hour from here. It was in August, and I had the best time, and it cleared my head. I did think about work on the drive, so it's not like you can ever escape it, but it really was something like you said earlier, you got to break the cycle or break your routine or something, but it really got me out of that. I had a great time. I ended up shooting a video, obviously, but it just was so different and enjoyable. And, it, you know, when I got back, even for one day, I felt rested and was even, you know, more productive.
Love that story. And, you know, here's the thing. Overwhelm is a fact in life. But overwhelm is actually a state of mind. It is a habitual response that we develop that it's like the trigger that says, I'm overwhelmed. Something has to change. And so, you know, overwhelm's not going to go away for any of us because we're business owners, we're entrepreneurs. It's how you handle and what strategies, techniques, and tools you have to use when you get overwhelmed, and it's how you can set up your business and your life so that you minimize the times you get overwhelmed. I look at it, there's preventative measures, and then there's recovery measures. Prevention is, how are you designing your strategies? How are you setting up your business? What are you saying yes to? But then there's recovery. And when you do get into overwhelm, there are some things that happen to your brain that your brain will take over and say, I'm shutting down now. Like, I'm going away. Don't expect anything out of me. And for some of us, we can get really paralyzed and depressed in that place. So, you know, you don't know this yet, but I actually, when I have a new revised version of my Get Out of Overwhelm product, and one of the things I did in that was I put a brain reboot hypnosis audio in there because when you're in that space, like your brain needs somebody to teach it how to stop feeling overwhelmed and get back into a place where you feel powerful and confident. And so I guess what I'm just saying is, like, please know if you get into overwhelm, it's not that you're doing everything wrong. It's what are you going to do to get the overwhelm handled and get your brain back on track so that you can get back into a powerful place. And it's just like knowing what to do to manage it.
Just one second. I'm writing something down. I love when I hear something like that. All right, so here you go, Melanie. And this is between you and me and not all the people listening to this. Here's a title for a book, Reboot, 7 Steps to Getting Your Entrepreneurial Brain Back on Track. I love that.
You're Mr. Titles. You come up with the best titles. We've come up with so many great titles in a conversation like this. Okay, I'm writing it down. Yes, you might see it in the new year. I won't make any promises.
I just love it. But when you said reboot, I mean, it's mm-hmm. such a great word for we need to reboot. I mean, yes. So anyway, but that's my gift to you for being my guest.
Thank you.
So, Melanie, how can someone listening right now get more access to the extraordinary tips for entrepreneurs and quite frankly, your brilliance? And I mean that in a very genuine way.
Thank you. Well, if you go to MelanieBensonStrick.com, you'll find my blog, and you can also find the other parts of the store. And, you know, we have, a couple of free resources there you can check out. And then, you know, if you want to go deeper and overwhelm's big for you and you're like, okay, Melanie, can you have anything that can help me, go to the store page and you'll find the Get Out of Overwhelm program there. And, there's all kinds of great resources and support and tips that I post on the blog there. And you can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/MelCoach and on Twitter at the same address, MelCoach. And I share all kinds of great tips there, too. So sometimes it's just like seeing that spark when you need it the most is exactly the way that's going to, you know, be good to stay in connection. But also the website definitely has some great resources for you as well.
Is Melanie Benson Strick where your most awesome video podcast is and your interviews you do?
Yes, yes. You can also, if you go to MelanieBensonStrick.com, you'll find us on the blog there. I post them. You can also now find us on iTunes at MelanieBensonStrick.com/podcast. And that way, if you are like me and you're obsessed with your iPhone and you get all your podcasts there, you can sign up and that way each week you don't miss any of the podcasts that we deliver to you with other great people like Jim Palmer and all kinds of awesome entrepreneurs who are optimizing their business.
Yeah, and of course, many people on this call already have a great business app on their phone, so I should think they connect with you too. So anyway, you know, hey, but the fun thing about watching Melanie's video interviews is right over her right shoulder, left side of the screen, is a sign in her office says rock star, and you are a rock star, and I just thank you so much for sharing with my audience, Melanie.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Everybody always says, hey, I love the rock star in the background. And that was actually a gift from one of our other rock star mastermind members. So it helps me remember to play like a rock star. So
awesome.
Thanks for having me. And it was really great connecting. I look forward to hearing like some ahas and what people got a shift out of from our little discussion today around overwhelm.
Yeah, so when this airs in about, I think, 3 weeks from when we're recording it, but then again, if you're listening to it, that means absolutely nothing. But when you go post on Melanie's Facebook wall or on Twitter, just use a hashtag #StickLikeGlue or #, you know, Newsletter Guru or something, and let her know that you heard it on this here episode. All right. Okay, folks. Hey, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with the super talented and my personal mindset coach, Melanie Benson Strick. Stick Like Glue is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And again, those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.